we present Richard Herndl as Nigel Strangeways, the detective hero of I Am Lucy Rugby, adapted by Molly Hardwick from Nicholas Blake's novel, The Sad Variety. I Am Lucy Rugby.
Yes?
Mr. Nigel Strangeways is here, sir.
Ah, right. Send him in. Ah, oh, Nigel. Glad to see you. Sit down.
You've got another job for me, I gather, Rennie.
That's right. You've been very useful to us in the past, you know.
I am the last and highest court of appeal in detection.
Good heaven.
Oh, it's all right. That's Sherlock Holmes talking, not me.
Ah. I did wonder. You busy at the moment?
No, not really. I looked into that Crawley case for the Yard, but it wasn't entirely worthy of my talents.
And you probably won't think this one is either. But security would like you to do it.
Well, I was hoping to take Claire for a slight holiday.
Oh, the very thing. Have one on us.
Oh, pray continue. Your narrative interests me strangely.
Well, this job really amounts to a free holiday.
Oh.
I want you to go to the guest house down Coombe, near Eggerswell, you know.
Yes.
Charming old house. Very comfortable, I hear. Pretty country. Just the place for a winter break.
And when I get there?
Just keep an eye on Professor Alfred Rugby.
The nuclear scientist?
That's the man. Now, we don't need to worry about him while he's on the job. There's plenty of protection at that establishment. It's while he's on holiday that we want him watched.
For a special reason?
Very special. Rugby's got a very important secret in his head, which certain people would very much like to get hold of. He's a very reliable chap, Rugby. Not like some of these boffins. On special ops during the war, that sort of man. But we'd like an eye kept on him for his own good.
I see. Well, I think I could manage that.
But do it tactfully, old boy. Rugby's a bit hot-tempered, and he wouldn't like having a nursemaid in attendance. No need to reveal your squalid identity.
What about his family?
Wife. His second wife. Name's Elena. Also daughter of 10, Lucy.
What's the wife like?
Ex-actress. Rather intense. Naturalized British.
And before?
Care to guess?
Good heavens, Rennie. You mean to
now
say
that... Now, don't get worked up. We've satisfied ourselves about her. Managed to get across the frontier, but lost her husband in the scrum and her baby as well.
Killed?
We've got separated from her crossing the frontier. She'd given it to a man to carry in the dash across, and when she reached safety, she looked back and saw the man lying on the ground. He'd been shot, with the baby beside him.
Good Lord.
Poor girl nearly went off her head. She heard a month later that the baby had died too.
I see. Well, she sounds all right, but
Don't fuss, Nigel. We've checked and double-checked her. It's from the outside the danger to Rugby will come, if it comes at all. And let's hope it won't.
But, Petrov, I simply can't understand why...
Why what?
Why kids have to be brought into it. Surely the obvious thing will be to deal directly with the principal.
My dear Mr. Cunningham, or shall it be Paul, the professor is a very tough nut to crack. Even supposing we could smuggle him out of the country... There's no saying how long it would take to break him down. No. He's a tough nut, but the nut has one soft spot.
I still don't like it.
I'm afraid you have not much choice. We know a little too much about you.
Another cup of coffee, Comrade Petrov.
If you please, Miss Stott.
I suppose she's going as my political commissar.
Annie Stott is an intelligent and resourceful woman. You will enjoy having her as a sister.
Sister?
That will be your relationship at Smuggler's Cottage. You have the address?
Mm.
Smuggler's Cottage, Eggerswell... Near Downcombe, Dorset.
Yes, yes.
How fortunate we are, Miss Stott, that our dear Paul is so respectable.
Thanks.
Here's your coffee. Do you mean that posh place he teaches at?
Ah, delicious. I mean his contacts with the mighty. What a stroke of luck that he should know the head of an Oxford college well enough to rent his cottage for the Christmas vacation.
Well, let's get the arrangement settled, shall we?
Of course. You will pick up the equipment here at Miss Stott's flat and drive down to Smuggler's Cottage on 18th of December.
Right.
You will bring some provisions. You can get milk and butter from a farm 100 yards down the hill. Your sister Annie, who will call herself Dr. Everly, will arrive by train with the child on the 21st.
Arriving at 6:23 p.m.
So, before she arrives, Paul, you will establish your presence at the cottage and your reason for being there. You need quiet to start a book.
Hmm.
What book?
Well, I haven't had a chance.
Come, this will never do. One weak spot and cover story can be ripped open.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I think all this absurd cloak and dagger stuff.
Comrade Petrov is not interested in what you think.
You may call it absurd, but your life and more important things will depend on it.
All right, go on.
You and Annie must establish a firm impression of brother and sister holidaying with another sister's child. One who has been ill and needs country air. This child will be the boy, Eva. When Miss Stott and you have secured Lucy Ragby from guest house and brought her to the cottage, she will be substituted for Eva.
Huh?
Disguise. Boy's clothes, cropped hair.
But Ragby will call in the police at once.
We shall make it clear that this would be inadvisable. He wouldn't want anything unpleasant to happen to Lucy.
But even if he does cough up, the child will tell where... I had to rent the cottage in my own name, you see.
She will be taken there in the dark. The view from back windows could hardly be identified later.
The fact is, you don't care a damn what happens to me afterwards.
You are taking a risk. If you won't gamble, we will ruin you. I have the photographs, you know.
Yes, I know.
Besides, the child is expendable.
You don't mean that you could...
You still seem to think we're playing kiss in the ring. Now look, Ragby has made a major breakthrough which could put Britain 5 years ahead in the anti-missile field. Don't you see that in the end, this could mean the death of hundreds of thousands of children, not one?
I simply don't agree.
You're wasting time. If you wish to back out, you can sublet the cottage to Annie. But you know the consequences.
Yes. All right, I'm not backing out.
That is better.
All I'm saying is that Ragby's not going to hand over his formula without laying a police trap first.
My dear Paul, we have thought of this. We shall have a friend planted in the guest house.
To tap the telephone?
To prevent any knavish tricks by the good professor.
I see.
Well, is there anything else?
If I could just have a word with you.
Well?
The photographs.
Here in my pocket. You can have them back now.
Oh, what about the negatives?
They will be returned after the operation. We could hardly trust you.
No. No, I see.
And you have all the details straight?
Yes. I think I've got everything taped.
The Diary of Lucy Ragby. December the 27th. When I woke up just now, I looked out and saw that it was snowing. This is lovely because it means we can go tobogganing. I shall wear my new blue anorak that Papa gave me for Christmas and my new black tights from Elena. I think Elena is a smashing person to have for a stepmother, not a bit like the stories. I would like to tell Papa and Elena about the tobogganing now. But I mustn't wake them up too early because Papa has been working very hard and Elena has not been very well. I like the guest house very much. The people are very nice. Mr. Strangeways is funny. Mrs. Strangeways is very pretty. She is a famous sculptor who makes statues. I am going to write about it in my novel. There's the heroine, me, of course, and a lot of sinister people snowed up inside a guest house. And she gets away in a toboggan, and she leads the police back to capture the gang.
Claire. It's snowing.
Oh, tell me later.
Come on. Time for a nice, healthy 3 miles before breakfast. Claire?
Yes, Nigel.
What do you think of them? This lot, the guests.
You start.
Well, Ragby's a pleasant chap.
Lucy's delightful, precocious, but nice. And the wife's lovely.
Yes. Yes, a wonderful ravaged face. And that white hair.
Which is it for me, do you think?
Ask her. Portrait bust?
Oh, no. I'd like to do a full figure. Niall be weeping.
Now I'll be weeping for her children. Yes. What about the other ladies of the party?
Mrs. French Sullivan looks like a peevish pug. The Admiral's sweet, though. And Cherry Atterson's a little girl pretending to be grown up.
Well, if her name's really Atterson, I'll eat my hat.
Meaning?
A runaway match, as they used to say. She's way above him, even if she does pretend to be a beatnik. No, desirable heiress. Father brandishing horsewhip, flight to Gretna. The old story.
Well, you're often right. Now, what about the man on his own, Justin Leake?
Ah, a mystery's over. Very interested in the Attersons. But not after Cherry, I should think.
Oh, I hope the snow holds today.
Papa, if the snow lasts, couldn't you get me a sledge? And tomorrow, will there be enough to make a snowman?
I expect so, darling. Good. But we've got a week more here.
You might have longer, Lucy. The last time there was heavy snow, this valley was blocked for a fortnight.
Oh, Silver Admiral. Mr. Atterson,
Some of us like to see the fire, you know.
Oh, sorry, lady. Pardon me for living.
In my youth, young persons were always trained to give place to their elders.
Oh, I sympathize with you. Personally, I feel older than the rocks on which I sit.
Dear me. Isn't it time the maid cleared away these tea things? I don't know what servants are coming to.
I suppose you're used to an army of slaves, Mrs. French Sullivan.
We had plenty of servants in Alexandria, where my husband was stationed.
Well, can't get them in this country, of course.
What's that badge you always wear, Mrs. Addison? A cycling club badge?
No, CND. Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament.
Really? You mean those dreadful marches? You don't want to defend your own country.
The atom bomb isn't built for defense. It's for attack.
You don't believe in it as a deterrent?
Not for long.
It seems to have deterred so far, my dear.
I'm not trying to get at you, Admiral. Soldiers and sailors, oh, they've got a job to do. No, it's these scientists.
Oh, hush, girl. Scientist, Professor.
Well, I'm sorry, Professor, but I do...
Oh, don't mind me.
Well, then, I think you scientists just go blindly ahead with your experiments and never stop to ask yourselves what the consequences will be.
You're saying we should be prophets and moral censors of our own work.
You don't need to be a prophet to know what an atom bomb will do.
Nuclear fission was a neutral discovery. It could be used for destructive or constructive purposes.
Yak, yak, yak. Yeah, what's your line anyway, Professor?
I'm a mathematical physicist.
Well, we're luckier in the services. The horizon's narrowed down to one's duty. Find the enemy, engage him and destroy him, eh?
Oh, you simple sailors.
My husband's perfectly right. All this talk.
I have finished the letters, Alfred.
Oh, that's good, dear. Hi, you've just arrived in time to interrupt what promised to be a heated argument.
Oh, about what?
The use of nuclear power.
Oh, I don't know why you wish to discuss such things. Is it not time the letters went?
Of course. Lucy, come on, postman.
Just a minute. I'm finishing this drawing. There.
Brought your anorak, Lucy.
Oh, thanks, Elena. I wonder if it's still snowing.
Do you think the child should go by herself in the dark?
The box is only just down the lane, and she likes to be postman. Don't you, darling?
Oh, yes. I need the exercise, you know. Bye, Papa. Bye, Elena.
Don't dawdle, love. It's cold.
Well, that was an interesting symposium.
Oh, I thought you dozed off, Nigel.
No, just watching and listening, the unobtrusive figure in the deep armchair. I'm going to follow Lucy.
Are you? She seems quite capable of looking after herself.
Possibly, but I have a feeling I won't belong.
Oh, all right. I think I'll go and have a bath.
Lucy! Lucy, where are you?
Excuse me. Little girl?
Yes?
Could you tell me which way I go for Longport?
Oh, yes. You turn right at that corner.
Take the letters, Paul. That's the best box.
Right. Take her, will you?
Oh, still you.
Right. I posted them.
Okay. Get in. That's better. I'll look after her in the back. You drive. No, wait a minute.
What are you going to do?
Lucy, give me that torch. Roll the sleeve up.
Why me?
Oh, do as I say.
Oh, wait.
Stop it! That hurt! What are you doing?
We're just taking you for a nice long ride.
She'll quieten down in a minute. Well, let's go.
Right.
Lucy, where are you, darling?
Strange race, you hurt?
Yes, I rest on my head. Just a minute.
Come on, look up. I'll give you a hand.
Oh, my head.
Lucy. Lucy, is she back yet? No, I came out to look for her. What the devil is all this?
How long since you went out?
Well, about 10 minutes, but...
Telephone. The guest house. Afraid they've got her.
What?
Quick, here. Read this before you telephone. My credentials, and mention it to nobody but the police.
Wound, but I don't think your skull's broken.
No, of course it isn't, or I wouldn't be talking to you. Now, come on, just bathe it and put some antiseptic on.
Well, I've got it ready.
Keep your head still.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry, darling.
Claire. Claire, when I went out, did anyone follow me?
Oh, let me see. Mrs. Rabby went upstairs. Mr. Leake left the drawing room soon after you.
How soon?
Oh, almost at once. So did the Attersons. That left the Admiral and Mrs. F.S. and me. What's all this about?
Lucy's been kidnapped.
Oh, Nigel, no.
The village bub is coming up. And I rang the doctor, too. How are you feeling?
Terrible. But look, what use is a village constable? We want the county headquarters.
He's getting onto them. Here's your credentials back. Why the devil couldn't security have let me know what was in their minds?
Have you told your wife yet?
No. No, I'm funking it a bit. She's devoted to Lucy. I don't want to alarm her until we know for certain.
Would you mind if Claire broke it to her?
No, no, indeed. I'd be grateful.
Claire?
Well, of course I will. I'll go right away. Lucy, where have you been all this time? Oh, I'm afraid it's me, Mrs. Rugby. Oh, what's the matter? Is it Lucy? I'm afraid so.
Is she? Has there been an accident?
No, no. She's been taken away, kidnapped.
But that's impossible. Kidnapped? But why? We are not rich. You cannot mean this. Oh, yes. Yes, I see in your face that you do. Oh, Lucy. Lucy.
I'll fetch your husband.
No. No, not yet. I can't face him.
But my dear, you...
If I hadn't sent her to post the letters, that was when they took her.
Yes.
I wanted her to be independent. An only child can so easily. You never had a child, did you?
No.
I did. One of my own. They killed him. Now they've taken Lucy, too.
I am Lucy Rugby. I am Lucy Rugby. I don't know where this is, but I'm me. I've got pajamas on, not a nightie. That's funny. My arm hurts where she stuck that needle thing into me. Oh, my hair! My head's all bristly and short. Not me in the mirror, that's somebody else, somebody ugly. Oh, well. Face facts, Papa says. Always face facts, Lucy. I'm shut up, and I want to get out. Come on, Lucy. Hello! Is anyone there? Let me out, let me out! Oh.
There's no need to yell like that. Here's your breakfast.
Thank you. What's your name?
You can call me Aunt Annie.
But you're not my aunt.
And your name is Evan. E-V-A-N. Now don't forget it.
Evan. I suppose you've stolen me like the gypsies.
You can suppose what you like.
Where is this house?
It's my cottage in Buckinghamshire. We brought you a long way last night. You slept all the way.
How long shall I be staying here?
That depends. When you finish breakfast, put on these clothes.
But those are for a boy.
Yes.
Oh. Please, please, can I have a paper and pencil?
What for?
I'm writing a story. I write a bit of it every day, and there's nothing else to do here.
Very well.
Well, how is she?
Awake. Eating her breakfast. She's a queer little girl, I must say.
How do you mean?
Takes it all very calmly.
You'd prefer her to be in hysterics, wouldn't you, poor kid? I hope you're not...
Oh, don't be a fool. She'll be well treated and she'll come to no harm. She thinks she's in Buckinghamshire. As long as she's nothing to give away about us afterwards, violence will be quite incorrect.
Hmm.
Where's Evan?
Digging the snow away from the garage doors. I need the car this evening to take him to the station.
I shall need it earlier. My appointment's for midday.
Aren't you nervous about going into Belcaster? It'll be swarming with police today.
Not if Rugby follows his instructions.
Think he'll try any tricks?
He might, once. Not a second time. Not after we've turned on the heat.
You mean you'll send him one of Lucy's fingers by post? I I believe you would, you know.
You should bring your reading up to date. What do you suppose we have a tape recorder for?
Hello?
Professor Alfred Ragby?
Speaking.
I have a call for you from London. Go ahead, caller.
Hello. I am speaking to Professor Alfred Ragby, FRS.
Yes. Who are you?
My name will not be known to you. I have news of your daughter.
I take it you're the person who stole her.
Let us say borrowed, Professor. She will be returned quite soon if our transaction proves successful.
Where is she?
In London.
Let me speak to her.
That is not possible. I am in a public telephone box, alone.
Yeah. Well, what's this transaction you speak of?
You have something my friends need, Professor Ragby, in your head. We have something you need. I propose an exchange.
So I imagine. Your methods of business are contemptible, of course.
Hard words break no bones, my dear sir. For you, it's simply a question of how much value you set upon your daughter.
Don't lecture to me. Get on with it.
Very well. If you decide to complete the transaction, you will be at the General Post Office in Belcaster at noon today. You will find a long counter for writing telegrams on your left as you go in. At its near end is a holder containing forms for premium savings bonds. You will place a sheet of paper on which you have written your information at the back of these forms and at once leave the post office.
And then I get Lucy back?
In due course. Naturally, we should have to make sure it was the correct formula you had given us. Well, Professor, are you willing to close the deal?
It looks as if this is a stalemate. If I refuse, you're back where you started. If I agree, I've no guarantee of getting my daughter back.
You have our word for that.
Your word?
You refuse, then.
Look, how do I know Lucy isn't dead already? Suppose I find I've exchanged a vital secret for a dead child.
No. We do not kill people unnecessarily. Of course, I cannot answer for my friends in London. They are impatient.
All right. You promise not to hurt her?
I promise that, my friend.
Then I'll do what you ask.
You are wise, Professor, but do not play any monkey tricks. Goodbye.
Well, Strangeways, you heard all that?
Yes.
What am I to do?
Play for time. Write down some data, symbols, what have you, that look plausible, but are in fact misleading. Now, I'll have the post office watched, and whoever comes in to pick up your information will be followed. The trail may lead us to Lucy.
But Lucy's in London, man. Didn't you hear him?
I wonder.
Oh, hello.
Do you know what this is?
Yes, it's a tape recorder. Are we going to play with it?
I suppose you can read.
Of course I can read. Don't be silly.
Oh, very well. I want you to read this into the microphone. It's a message to your father.
You're going to send him the tape?
Well, you... I shall let him have it.
But why can't I talk to him on the
telephone?
Now,
don't interrupt. You must read out these words and nothing else, as if you were talking to him. And where there are three dots, you must make a pause. Now, let's have a practice.
Hello, Daddy, it's me. No, that won't do.
What do you mean, won't do?
I never call him Daddy, Papa or Father.
Oh, well, I'll alter it.
Hello, Papa, it's me, Lucy. Yes, I'm very well and the people are being very kind to me. I have plenty to eat and a nice room with lots of toys and books. No, I'm not allowed to say where I am. It's somewhere in London. Is Elena well?
No, child. You're reading it as if it was a storybook. Now, say it. Put some life into it.
How can I? The way you've written it, it makes me sound like a kid of six.
Now, don't waste my time. Now, do it again. Use your imagination, you silly little boy.
I'm not a... Oh, all right. Hello, Papa. It's me, Lucy. Yes, I'm very well, and the people are being very kind to me. I have plenty to eat and a nice room with lots of toys and books. No, I'm not allowed to say where I am. It's somewhere in London. Is Elena well? No! No, don't do it again! Please don't! Not that thing! Take it away!
Thank you.
Right. The car should be all right here. Now, can we go over the drill again, Strangeways?
Certainly. You go to the post office and carry out your instructions. Uh-huh. Mrs. Ragby and I wait in the bookshop across the way. Now, there'll be a plainclothes man in the post office and one outside. When we get the signal that the goods have been collected, we drift out and rejoin you here.
Yes, I've got that. What beats me is why they should go through all this rigmarole.
What do you think, Mrs. Ragby? You know these people.
Well, they do not trust one another. Perhaps that's it.
What's in your mind?
Alfred, this man who spoke to you from London yesterday, he would not be the principal. His superiors may suspect him of being a double agent. Oh, God, I thought I'd left these terrible things behind me when I escaped.
Now, try not to take it so hard, love. You're not to blame.
What's the use of telling me that? Here we are.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's time you were going, Professor.
Yes.
Oh, Alfred.
Now, don't worry, darling. This may lead us straight to Lucy.
Come along, Mrs. Ragby. Oh, I say, here's a bargain. A 3-guinea book down to 15 bob.
Here.
Pity it's an illustrated history of the Manchester Ship Canal. Ah, now, here's a nice little work on organic nitrogen. Oh, lovely pictures.
The man has given no sign yet.
No. Well, they may not collect promptly. And anyway, it's not quite 12.
Oh, yes. There is a clock.
Do you see that plain van on the corner? Now, that's the one that'll follow our quarry.
I wish they would get it over.
Steady now. There are several people going in all at once. Perhaps one of them's our man. Oh, what a singularly ugly woman. I should like it to be her. No, she's going past. And now... Mrs. Ragby, look.
What is it?
Just left his car, going into the post office.
Mr. Leek?
Mr. Justin Leek, the lone wolf of the guest house. Now, that's very interesting. Very interesting indeed, in my opinion.
Well, there it is, Mr. Strangeways. Our men were watching all yesterday, and the fish never went near the bait.
Yeah. I thought when Leek went in, we were on to something, Superintendent.
Then he came out, and the policeman gave no sign.
No, he never even looked at the premium bonds holder. He just sent a telegram and left.
What did the telegram say?
Here.
Sir James Allenby, the Red House, Altrincham, Surrey. Nothing to report yet, but one possible trail, Leek. Who's this Allenby?
Big industrialist, isn't he? Seemed to remember something in the papers about him.
Yes, that's right, Professor. His daughter went off the rails or something.
Oh, well, anyway, I shouldn't think it's relevant. And nothing else happened the whole day, Superintendent?
No. Our chaps were on duty all day and all night. In that snowstorm, too. Nobody went near the thing. It's still there.
So there's been a tip-off.
Looks like it. The question is, who from? We've had all the calls from here monitored, of course.
How could it be anyone here at the guest house? Nobody knows except us what the plans were.
There are ways of finding out, Professor. And these people know him.
Ah, that'll be it, Professor. Now, I'll listen in on the extension.
Answer it, Alfred. Answer it.
Yes?
I have a call for Professor Ragby from London.
Ragby speaking.
Go ahead, London. Your call to Downcombe.
Hello. Hello, is that Lucy's father?
Yes.
You failed to do what you were told yesterday. That was foolish of you. Not only did you inform the police, but you tried to double-cross us over the document. It must not happen again.
But it will.
Then your daughter is going to suffer from your obstinacy. Suffer very painfully indeed.
I don't believe you. I'm quite certain Lucy's already dead, you see.
You are wrong there, Professor. She is in the room with me now. Lucy, come and speak to your father.
Hello, Papa. It's me, Lucy.
God. Lucy, darling, are you all right? Where are you, love?
No, I'm not allowed to say where I am. It's somewhere in London. Is Elena well?
Yes, but she's...
No! Don't do it again! Please don't! No, that thing's taken away!
My God!
Oh. You see, Professor? Lucy is alive. But life can be very painful for her. And it will get worse the longer you remain stubborn. Hold yourself ready for further instructions. Goodbye.
Lucy.
It's a bit more than I can stand.
That really was your daughter, Professor?
Yes, so she is in London after all.
I doubt it.
Why? The call came from London.
I could hear fairly clearly. She wasn't talking naturally. More like repeating a lesson or reading something.
You're not trying to tell me that bit at the end wasn't natural.
No. I'm afraid that was the real thing.
But
Was there a faint whirring just before she started?
No, I wasn't.
Well, I think it was a tape recorder. The thing was faked.
Anyway, she must be alive.
Yes. Whoever's got her would have posted the tape to London.
Well, the inward call's here to monitor it. We'll find out where the call came from and pull the place to bits.
You better alert your men for a wide local search, Superintendent. Whatever you find in London, it won't be Lucy.
Well, I don't fancy our chances if this snow gets much worse. The snow plows are out down the valley. Looks like being worse than 1962. Still, we'll do our best.
Put another log on, Paul.
Glad to. Oh, I hate to be driving to the station this morning. Bad enough last night. That blizzard raging.
You're sure Evan caught the train?
Oh, yes, bound to.
I told you. I walked him to within 100 yards of the station. Had to turn back then and dig the car out of the drift.
You should have taken him all the way. Made sure.
And frozen to death during the night. Anyway, you don't seem to have done so brilliantly yourself.
I told you. Rugby tried to double cross us. No use running into a police trap. Oh, damn, the clock stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Put the radio on.
All right.
In full at 9:10 this evening in the Home Service. Lucy Ragby, the 10-year-old girl who disappeared from the guest house Down Coombe, Dorset, last night, is still missing. Police are making inquiries throughout the county and will concentrate particularly on isolated houses within a radius of 50 miles of Down Coombe. When last seen, Lucy was wearing a blue anorak and a green and blue plaid dress. She has long dark hair, grey eyes, and a surgical scar beneath her left ear. Anyone who has seen a child answering to this description is asked to communicate with the local police.
So, the blue bottles are buzzing. Did Petrov allow for this one?
I don't understand. Petrov can't have convinced Ragby that the child was taken to London.
Oh.
Still, there's no great harm done. The people at the farm can't possibly find out that we've substituted her for Evan.
But if a bobby comes to search...
He'll find a boy ill in bed with a bandaged neck. A fair-haired boy.
Well, you think of everything, don't you?
Oh, somebody has to.
Except the child's feelings.
Now, look, if you're so sensitive...
It's the phone.
Hello?
Are you Eggerswell 8653?
Yes.
I have a London call for you. Go ahead, caller.
Hello. Well, I am waiting for your explanation.
Explanation? I don't understand, Petrov.
Where is the boy, Evan?
Evan? Why, with you, isn't he?
No, he is not. He did not arrive at Waterloo on that train, or on any other train. I have met them all.
Did you hear that, Paul?
Here, let me speak to him. Hello? Petrov, listen, what is all this? I took the kid to the station myself.
And saw him on the train?
Well, no, not quite. You see, my car, it got stuck in a drift. There was a blizzard blowing. It's absolutely terrible down here. Snow several feet
deep. I did not telephone to discuss the weather. Where is Evan?
I put him down near the station, and then I told him to walk.
How near? A few yards?
Well, no, a bit more.
A mile?
Oh, no, not that far. About half. A bit less, perhaps.
I see. So where is the child now? Where? In a house, a cottage, telling all about us. I will deal with you later, Paul.
Oh, God.
Now you've done it. Lost your nerve in a bit of snow and wrecked everything. I warned Petrov he'd be in for trouble taking you on.
Don't you talk to me like that. Anyway, the kid will turn up.
Oh.
Probably come back here. And the one upstairs is well drilled.
Oh, she's no trouble, I will say that.
My serial story, The Adventures of Cinders, Chapter 2. This chapter is called Where Am I? Next morning, the madwoman, who Cinders had to call Aunt Annie, took her into a room at the front of the house. She let Cinders, who she called Evan for some loopy reason, look out of the window. Down below was a man called Jim. He had brought some milk. Jim waved to her, and she waved back. Don't you dare call for help, hissed the madwoman, or I'll stick this hypodermic syringe into you. So Cinders didn't. The panorama from the window was truly spectacular. Snow-covered hills, one with a clump of trees, four or five of them on its top. The cottage stood on the side of a hill. Cinder's observant eye noticed some farm buildings quite near on the right.
The window she looked out of had a sort of arch top and white wooden bars on it. Cinders...
Finished with your tray?
Yes, thank you.
What's that you're writing?
My story.
Oh. I thought it might be a message to your father. Well, if you were thinking of writing one, you can think again.
Yes, I know.
Oh. No nonsense, then.
No nonsense. Cinders thought about the man, Jim, who brings the milk. If she could drop a piece of her story out to him, the bit that said what her prison was like, he might understand and set her free. It's worth trying.
Well, Superintendent, have you traced the telephone call?
Acorn Exchange, that's Acton Way. It's a private number, not a phone box. They're investigating it now.
Good.
You wouldn't say the professor is up to some funny game of his own, would you?
Quite certainly isn't.
What about his wife? She knew about his plans to fool them with false information?
Well, she was thoroughly screened by security when she came over. They say she's absolutely in the clear, but the only thing is...
Yeah?
She did go down to the village after breakfast yesterday to the post office. And there's a public telephone outside. She could have phoned them from there. She...
Ah, Mrs. Ragby.
Have you any news, Superintendent?
I'm afraid not, but don't lose heart. I've got the best part of my force out looking for Lucy.
If only I could do something.
Perhaps you can, Mrs. Ragby. I'm sorry to be asking you more questions, but you might be able to help.
Oh, yes, anything.
Yesterday morning, you knew about your husband's plans to resist the blackmailers?
Of course, we discussed it.
Mm-hmm. And you walked down to the village later, to the post office, and telephoned someone.
Yes. How did you know?
The postmistress said you asked for change. It was a private call, I take it.
Oh, I don't mind you knowing. I just remembered we'd been asked out to lunch by some friends by Lynmouth, and I wanted to explain to them we wouldn't be coming.
Mm-hmm. Just as a routine matter, may I have their name and number?
Mrs. Ellaby, Lynmouth 263.
Thank you. I wonder if you'd mind asking Mr. and Mrs. Addison to come here.
Oh, of course. I hope I have helped you.
Oh, well, that lets her out, Superintendent.
I hope so. Well, let's see what the other parties have to say.
Well, here we are. First brush with the police, eh?
Please sit down. Let me see. Your name is Lance Addison.
Oh, so far as I know.
Age 28. You live in Chelsea. You married Mrs. Addison a week ago in a registrar's office. The Chelsea one?
No.
What does it matter?
Which registrar's office?
Oh, get with it, man. We've got a pastor's man and wife staying in a place like this.
I see, unmarried. And your maiden name, Mrs. Addison?
Smith.
Are you sure? Miss Allenby?
Allenby? What is all this?
I think you know. Well, never mind. How long have you known Mr. Leake?
We don't know him. He trails us like a parasite.
Why?
None of your business, copper.
Don't be a fool, Lance. Can't you see they're on to us? All right, Superintendent. It's blackmail.
On account of the fact that you ran away from your father's home with a fortune hunter?
Yes, that's right. And he's my guardian, not my father. My name really is Smith. Frobisher Smith.
Thank you. Have you a police record, Miss Frobisher Smith?
I've not been in jail yet. I did get fined for sitting in Trafalgar Square.
I see. You believe in unilateral disarmament.
Every sensible person does.
Would you say that betraying your country's secrets to an enemy advanced the cause of nuclear disarmament?
Well, that'd depend. But if you mean did I have anything to do with kidnapping Lucy, no, I didn't. I think it was an absolutely filthy thing to do.
Thank you, Miss Frobisher Smith. I don't think I've anything else to ask you.
Yes, I damn well think not. Come on, Cherry.
Well, that clears up that. And confirms what I thought about Leake's telegram to Sir James Allenby.
Hmm.
Well, now, what about tackling the French Sullivans next?
Fine.
Well, there's one thing, though. Hmm? I fancy in this case, Mohammed better go to the mountain.
Mrs. French Sullivan being the mountain.
You've got it, Superintendent.
I greatly dislike anything that smacks of tail-bearing, Superintendent.
Any communication to the police, ma'am, is a privileged one.
Right. Well, the morning after Lucy disappeared, as I was coming down to breakfast, just before 9, I passed Mr. Leake's door. Do you know what I heard? A woman was talking in there.
Indeed. Did you recognize the voice?
No, but she sounded rather distressed or angry.
Well, that may be a useful piece of information. Now, ma'am, just a formality, you understand. You telephoned a wire to Belcaster yesterday morning. It said, do not accept offer am writing.
This is the most unwarrantable interference with my affairs. How dare you?
You refuse to divulge any information about this message?
Certainly I do. And I shall see that the chief constable hears about this.
Uh-oh. Burnt your fingers there, mate. What's it all about?
Well, the telegram was to a Mrs. Hollins, who keeps a dress shop in Belcaster. We've interviewed her. She won't discuss it.
Oh, well, let's have a go at the Admiral, then. He might be a bit more forthcoming.
Well, gentlemen, if you can tell me what it has to do with the case you're in charge of...
Well, I'm concerned to check every outgoing call made yesterday morning, sir. The kidnappers have a contact here. It's a matter of eliminating the rest of you.
I see, yes. Do not accept offer. Yes, it could look quite sinister. I can assure you that my wife is not an enemy agent, though. I think the telegram referred to Muriel's mink.
Muriel's mink?
Yes, I haven't seen it lately. I believe she must have asked Mrs. Hollins to dispose of it for her privately. Muriel wouldn't like to advertise, you see. She worries about keeping up social position and that sort of
thing. I see, sir.
I lost a lot of money speculating, and we've had to short and sale. It comes hard on a woman.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you, Admiral. Thank you very much.
Well, not at all. I hope I've cleared it up.
Poor chap.
Lovable innocent. What is it about the Navy?
Well, that leaves Mr. Justin Leake and his lady visitor.
Woman? I had no woman in my room. Where on earth did you get that idea?
Information received, sir. You've no explanation, then. You weren't playing the radio or a tape.
Oh, the radio, perhaps. I've a transistor set. I sometimes put it on while I'm dressing.
Can you remember if the program you were listening to had a woman's voice in it?
Most of them do. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Leake.
When shall we be allowed to leave this place, Superintendent?
Well, nobody can leave till the main London road is unblocked. Good morning to you.
Well, that's all of them. And we're still getting nowhere. Nowhere near to Lucy.
Annie! Annie! Here, quick!
What's the matter? Chimney on fire?
There's a policeman at the farm, talking to Thwaites. He'll be coming here next. What shall we do?
Do? Well, what we arranged to do, of course. Now, look, I'll give the child some knockout drops and put her into the front room bed where Evan was. You keep him talking if I'm not down by the time he comes.
But he may...
Oh, well, pull yourself together, lad. Don't stand there like a stuffed dummy.
Good morning, ma'am. I'm making a few inquiries.
Oh, no.
Come in.
Ah, thank you. There, I don't want to spoil your floors. Bring it all this snow in.
Oh, that's all right. Can't be helped. But this is Paul Cunningham.
Mr. Paul Cunningham. And you're...
Dr. Everly.
Will you have a drink, Constable?
No, thank you. I won't, sir. I'm making inquiries into the recent disappearance of a little girl, Lucy Ragby.
Oh, yes. It was on the news.
You've taken this cottage for the Christmas holiday, I understand, sir.
Yes, I rented it from Sir Henry. He's warden of my old college.
I see, sir. Have you got anyone else staying here besides you and your...
My sister? No, only...
Our nephew, Evan. We brought him here for a holiday. He's had a bad go of bronchitis and... I'm afraid he's ill again. I'm a bit worried it might turn to pleurisy.
Oh, dear, dear, I hope not. Do you mind if I take a look at him? And incidentally, at the rest of the house?
Not at all. Go ahead.
Well, I suppose it's all right, though.
Oh, just a formality, Doctor.
Oh, come on, then. Might as well see the downstairs first. There's not much of...
And the little boy's in here, is he?
Yes, but he's asleep.
Well, duty's duty, Doctor.
Oh, very well. But don't disturb him. Too much, he's under mild sedation.
I see. He looks very flushed.
Yes, he's feverish just now.
What's wrong with his neck?
Glandular swelling. We're keeping it covered.
Ah, poor little chap. You're a pretty little nipper. Hope he'll soon be mending.
Come on. Let's leave him in peace.
What is the point of all this? I thought you said it was a missing girl you were looking for.
Well, sir, it's thought that the kidnappers may have tried to alter the child's appearance.
But they can't alter the child.
Oh, don't you fret, sir. The child answers to the description Mr. and Mrs. Thwaites gave me of your nephew. Any rooms at the back of the house?
Oh, just a spare bedroom.
Well, better just put my nose inside. This it?
Mm-hmm.
Here, you didn't tell me there was another occupant in the house.
Oh, but there isn't. Just the three of us.
Well, somebody's been sleeping in that bed, though.
Oh,
Why, you forgot to make it, Annie. Oh. Evan's been using this as a sort of playroom,
yes,
Constable. We made him lie down for a rest on the bed every afternoon.
Quite, sir. Well, I'm much obliged. Sorry to have troubled you. I must be on my way now. Don't bother to show me out. I can find my way. Good day to you.
And goodbye, Constable.
Well, that was a near thing.
You forgot to make that bed when you moved her into the other room.
I know, but you covered up well. Oh, how much longer shall we have this child on our hands? Oh,
that depends on Petrov's next move.
Only we could be sure what's happened to Evan. Yes. Well, he can't have given anything away, or we'd be in jug by now.
You know what I think?
What?
Evan did get to London all right, and Petrov's pretending he didn't.
Why?
He'll search me to keep us on tenterhooks, perhaps. He enjoys power and intrigue and deception, for their own sake.
Oh, I mean. Rubbish.
Well, do you trust him?
Well, of course.
Oh, yes, of course. Party discipline, loyalty and all that. Oh, it must be nice to feel that nothing matters in life except the
We're
cause.
We're in this together, making a better world.
I know the line. So the children shan't have to go to school cold and hungry like you did. You feel justified in putting that kid upstairs through hell.
You're doing it too.
I was blackmailed into it.
Well, you could settle your conscience by keeping the child company now and then. If you think it'd help.
Very well. I will. I'll go now. Hello there, Lucy.
Oh.
You're awake now.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm so hot. And my head feels funny. Oh,
we'll turn off the electric fire then. There. Oh, my dear, I've been crying. There's no need to cry.
I couldn't help it.
There's shepherd's pie and tinned peaches for lunch. Could you force them down, do you think?
So, but I've got a headache.
Bad luck. It'll go soon.
Will it?
Hmm.
Who are you?
My name's Paul.
Are you that loopy woman's keeper?
Well, now you mention it, I am. But don't tell her.
Oh, what's this smelly thing round my neck? And there's another on my chest.
Aunt A thought that you were sickening for bronchitis or something. Oh. I think we can take them off now.
Oh, yes.
There we are. If you promise not to open the window, cold air really would be dangerous after being wadded up with cotton wool and perforated oil.
Don't be silly. It's camphorated oil, Nick.
So it is.
Can't we have the curtains open?
Why not?
There.
Oh, look at all the snow. I wish we could go tobogganing.
Well, perhaps we will. One day.
Oh, when? Tomorrow? It may all melt before you...
Now, Lucy. You're not going to start crying again, are you?
That's not fair. You can't expect me to feel happy here.
You're well looked after, aren't you?
But I want to go back to my father and Elena. I don't know why you're keeping me here.
You will soon, I hope. Go back to them, I mean.
I had some horrid dreams this morning. I dreamt I was looking everywhere for Papa, but I couldn't find him.
I'm sorry, Lucy.
Can I stay in this room, please? It's so dull in the other one.
But all your books and toys are in there.
Couldn't you fetch them in here?
Well, I'll see what Annie says. Mm. But, Lucy,
yes.
Do you know what parole means?
It's what prisoners give.
Yes. Well, will you promise not to try and escape? You couldn't get far anyway. The roads are all deep in snow. Promise? On your honor?
Of course I'll promise. On my honor.
Yes.
Can I have some paper and a pencil now? I want to write my story.
As it so happens, I've got some paper in my pocket. And a pencil. I'm a writer too, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Well, now. Ready for lunch? Headache gone?
Yes, please.
Fine. I'll go and bring it up.
Now, where was I? Chapter 2. Cinders thought about the man, Jim, who brings the milk. If she could drop a piece of her story out to him, he might understand and set her free. As long as she stayed in the front room, she would see him. If the window opened... Yes, it does! Cinders could wait for Jim and throw the piece of paper out, folded up like a paper dart. But Jim would think it was just a kid's game, throwing darts. What if Cinders were to write something on the back of it? something saying the finder would get money. Yes, that's it. The finder should post this at once to Professor Alfred Ragby, the guest house Downcombe. Reward of £5. It is a scientific experiment. Yes. The finder should post this at once to Professor Alfred Ragby.
I see the post is still getting through.
Yes.
No news yet, Professor?
No, afraid not.
I saw you had a letter and I wondered...
Oh, just a business one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we mustn't lose hope, must we?
Dear Professor Ragby, if you value your daughter's life, you will go on the evening of the day you get this letter, Monday, to the Bellevue Cafe on the Belcaster Longport Road and await instructions. Be there at 7 o'clock. It is your last chance, and the child.
I see.
Morning, Professor.
Morning.
Nothing for you?
No.
Oh, funny. I'd have thought if they'd given up telephoning, they'd write to you.
Yes, it is funny. The strange reason, is there any reason why I shouldn't drive into Belcaster? I want to get a prescription for Elena. She's not very well.
No, I'm sorry, it can't be done. Telephone it to Sparks. He'll bring it out when he comes this afternoon. I'm sorry about Mrs. Ragby. I'll get Claire to look in on her.
Oh, it's very kind of you.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, Claire very much wants to draw her. Fine bone structure, she says. Most unusual.
Oh. Yes, that might be therapeutic. Take her out of herself.
Well, I'll organize it for after breakfast, then.
Do you generally start your portrait heads with sketches, then?
No, I prefer modeling straight off with the clay, but I haven't brought any. Raise your chin just a fraction, please.
May I see it, please, as far as you have got?
Yes, if you like, but it's not very good.
No. It is interesting, clever, but you are not perhaps informed today. Your mind is not on it, perhaps. Why is this?
Elena, I must tell you, I'm here under false pretenses. I'm afraid Nigel believes you were a party to Lucy's kidnapping.
Oh, no! This is beyond everything! Have you gone mad?
I hope Nigel is wrong.
He has sent you to spy on me.
Oh, it's not a question of spying. Someone here informed the kidnappers about your husband's plan to outwit them and trap them at the post office. Only you and Nigel and the police knew about it.
Why does not Mr. Strangeworth come and make these accusations to my face?
Well, he thought you might be able to speak more frankly to me.
Speak about what?
Well, Nigel thinks you must have known Lucy was being kidnapped.
Oh.
When I came up here just after it, before I actually told you, you were distressed. Yet she hadn't been missing long, and you hadn't even come downstairs to ask about
her. Yes, but don't these policemen understand that a woman and a mother may have premonitions about a child? I felt something dreadful had happened.
Oh, Nigel.
Excuse me, Mrs. Ragby. Do you mind if I have a quick look round your room?
I believe you are mad.
What on earth? Why are you looking at this skirting board?
May I move this chest of drawers?
But why? For what reason?
Splendid. Mrs. Ragby, I think I owe you an apology.
You certainly do, breaking into my room like this. Please explain.
Look, there. There's a hole bored through the wainscot. Do you see? And a few fragments of sawdust. A microphone was out of sight behind this chest of drawers. The wire ran through this hole into... Whose is the room next door?
Mr. Leake.
So the voice Mrs. French Sullivan heard in his bedroom that morning was yours.
But I've never... What morning?
The morning after Lucy disappeared. You were discussing with your husband his plans for dealing with the kidnappers. Leake must have listened in and tipped them off.
Thank God we know this. You will arrest him now.
No. No, not yet. We can't afford to. If Leake knows we know about it, he'll not attempt to contact the kidnappers again. No, I must ring Sparks at once.
Well, aren't you going to question Leake at all?
No, but I think I might have a chat with his closest contact here, Mrs. Atterson, or rather Miss Frobisher Smith. Yes, I'll take her for a nice walk. So what was Leake's proposal?
Well, the idea was that I should make him monthly payments until I came into my money and then give him a slab of fat.
But you refused?
I certainly did. Oh, look, there's a hair. Do you see it? Look, isn't it pretty?
Oh, well, never mind about hairs. Why do you go about with Leake so much, you and Atterson?
Well, that's not my secret.
Shall I ask Atterson then?
Oh, no. Oh. Well, all right, I'll tell you. You see, when Leake found he couldn't get any change out of me, he started putting the bite on Lance. He'd evidence that Lance peddled tea. For reefers, you know.
Oh, I see. Oh, pertinacious fellow, Leake. And did he ever hint at anything else you might do for him? We might forget about the money if... that sort of thing?
No, truthfully.
Well, when did he declare himself? I mean, start trying to be a blackmailer.
Oh, the morning after Lucy was snatched.
The morning of... what time was this?
Well, I was going down to breakfast. Oh, it'd be about 10 to 9. On the way, I met Leake, and he asked me to come into his room. He was in a hurry for me to sign something.
How long were you there?
10 minutes, maybe. I don't remember.
So it was your voice. Thank you.
Why? I haven't done anything for you. I say, what's the matter? You look sick.
I feel sick. Do you mind if we go back to the house now? I'm expecting Superintendent Sparks. We've got a lot to talk about.
Well, a lot of blanks so far, Strangeways. No clues at all at the Acton flat the telephone call came from. Owners abroad, tenant untraceable.
And nothing about Lucy yet.
Nothing. We've combed nearly all the likely places hereabouts. Oh, it's getting me down. I only wish you could break through to the contact at this end.
But the informer? I think I know who that is.
You do, do you?
Yes, but I'd rather you didn't act on it for the moment. You see it.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were here, Superintendent.
Oh, that's all right, ma'am.
Well, it's just that Nigel Elena's terribly worried. The professor seems to have vanished.
What? Vanished?
She hasn't seen him since before tea, when he said he was going to write some letters. Your plainclothes man saw him going into the writing room, but nobody else has seen him since.
I'd better start alerting the force to set up roadblocks.
No, you'll hardly need to. Most of them are blocked by snow already. He made sure of getting away before dark.
Do you think he's gone, then? Given in to them?
Oh, I can't believe it. He's not the type. No, we failed to find Lucy, so he decided he must try himself. His only hope was to meet the other side's agent and try to make some sort of bargain. Something like, I'll give you what you want when you've shown me Lucy alive and let her go. And then he'll hold them off as long as he can. And after that, he'll kill himself.
That's how you see it, is it? Well, he may come back, of course. We've just got to wait and see if he does.
Well, that's it. Well, you might as well go to bed.
I really don't know how you can sit there, Mr. Leake, playing patience hour after hour.
Mental discipline. If one must be shut up here, the mind might as well be occupied.
Worldly goods are but shadows of the eternal.
What's that?
Now, that's what the fellow says who wrote this book. Indian mystic sort of chap. Very interesting idea, that.
In that case, we could do with a few more shadows.
Well, it's almost time for the late news bulletin. Don't you think we should hear it?
Surely we'd have been told first.
Nevertheless, I think we should. Claire, will you bring Mrs. Ragby downstairs, please?
Oh, must I? She's so...
Please, Claire. I think she should listen with the rest of us.
All right.
Do you think the professor has gone over, Mr. Strangeways?
Frankly, no.
I agree. Not the type at all.
Probably just gone bonkers with worry and wandered off.
Look, the news will have started. Switch on, Admiral, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course.
Snowfalls brought chaos all over Britain during the day. In parts of Kent, Sussex, Hampshire and Dorset, communications have almost come to a standstill. Helicopters have been carrying food supplies to some remoter district, and cattle and sheep on Exmoor are being given
fodder. We've obviously missed the news item.
Yes, no, it's right, Nigel.
Oh, my dear lady, come and sit here.
Thank you.
Casualties have been reported from many districts. On the M2, snow caused a pile-up of 6 cars, in which 2 people died. A snowplough clearing a road in the vicinity of Longport, Dorset, this evening, turned up the body of a child.
Oh, no.
The body, that of a boy of about 10, had been lying buried in a drift for several days. There were no signs of violence upon it. It is believed that the boy may have died in a blizzard while making his way towards Longport Station. A zip bag containing articles of clothing was found near the body, and the boy had the return half of a ticket to London in his pocket. His identity is at present unknown.
Poor little chap.
He's the same age as Lucy.
There were no name tapes or other distinguishing marks on the boy's clothing. The only clue is a thin silver medallion about the size of an identity disc worn on a chain round the boy's neck. On one side is embossed a phoenix rising from the ashes. On the reverse, an engraved inscription.
Admiral, help me. We'll carry her upstairs.
Just a little more brandy.
No. No, thank you. I'm sorry to have been so stupid.
Ivan was your child, wasn't he?
Yes, of course.
Yes. I can guess what happened. But first, do you know where they took Lucy?
If only I knew I would tell you. My God, why did I trust them?
Because you had to. For the chance of being reunited with Ivan.
Yes, you are understanding. Perhaps if I could have had another child, I tried to love Lucy. I did love her. But she was not my own.
Tell me how it all started.
They got in touch with me last September. They told me Ivan was alive, after all.
And you believed them?
Not at first, oh no. But they told me about the medallion and about a birthmark Ivan had on his body. The frontier guards who had shot at us picked up the baby and found it was alive. At first, he was kept by a farmer and his wife. Then he was sent to a state orphanage.
And when you knew he was alive?
Nothing else mattered except to save him. To try to give him back the years he had lost. Alfred's formulas, what did they matter compared with my own flesh and blood?
Yes, but there was Lucy.
They promised me she should come to no harm. And again I believed them.
When they had your husband's secret, Lucy would be returned to him. And you and Ivan...
I was to meet Ivan in London. They would smuggle us back to our own country. But why, if they meant to double-cross me, why bring him to England at all?
To be substituted for Lucy, I'm afraid. I imagine they'd take a house in the neighborhood, bring Ivan to it, so that the neighbors would know that there was a child in the house.
And then when they'd used him, those devils killed him.
No, he had the return half of a ticket to London in his pocket. If they meant to kill him, they wouldn't have bought a return. No, my guess is that they meant to put him on a London train and found the road blocked and told him to go on by himself.
Then they did murder him.
You must give us all the clues you can, Mrs. Rigby. What about the phone call you made to tell them about your husband's plans? Now, what was the number?
I'm sorry, it has gone through my head. They told me I must memorize it, I must not write it down.
But you can remember if it was the local one.
Oh, yes, it was the Longport Exchange.
Who answered you?
Was a woman.
Well, surely wouldn't have taken Lucy to the same house whose number you were to ring.
Well, anyway, we're a little further. They were aiming to take Ivan to Longport Station, so Longport must be the nearest one to the hideout.
Perhaps Alfred is with Lucy now. Oh, he must be in deadly danger. Why do we sit here doing nothing, talking? The police must start searching again.
But I can't just press a button and start the whole operation. I'll see that Sparks moves his men in as soon as it's light.
Very well. In the morning, you will take me to the superintendent and I will make a statement. There is only one thing, Claire.
Yes, my dear.
Will you do one more kind thing for me? Sit up with me a little longer. I cannot bear my own company.
Well, of course I will.
Well, I might as well get some sleep. Nothing else is likely to happen tonight.
Well, it sounds as though something might be.
Yes, I better go and answer it. Hello? Downcombe 257.
Strangeways?
Yes?
Oh, it's me, Sparks. I've got some pretty hot news for you.
What's happened?
We've got Rigby.
No. Where?
He was found half an hour ago at the Bellevue Cafe on the Belcaster Longport Road. In the cloakroom, unconscious. He'd been beaten up, half choked. Obviously left for dead. He might die even yet.
Had anyone been seen with him?
Yes, a big chap. The foreign accent. They were seen having coffee together. Then some soldiers came in and there was a bit of a bust-up. The proprietor lost sight of both Rigby and the other man after that.
But why should they try to kill Rigby? Unless he's already given them the information.
I don't know, and I've no time for theories. I've got to get to Ragby's bedside at the hospital and try to make him talk, if he's fit to.
Elena, you awake?
Yeah. Come in. Nigel. Is there any news? I've been awake all night since the telephone call.
There's no more from Sparks yet. It sounds as though your husband hasn't recovered enough to talk. But look, the post's in. And there are some letters for him. I thought we'd open them together.
Very well.
Well, now, I'm going to open this one myself. It's addressed in capital. Some anonymous crackpot, I expect.
Oh, there are always people who must reproach.
Well, it almost looks like a child's writing.
Huh?
What's this? The finder should post this at once to Professor Alfred Ragby, FRS, the guest house, Downcombe. It is a scientific experiment, reward of £5.
There is writing on the other side.
Hmm? So there is. Chapter 2. This chapter is called Where Am I? Next morning, the mad woman who Cinders had to call Aunt Annie took her into a room at the front of the hut. To Cinders?
Why, that's an old nickname of Lucy's.
Then it's not a hoax. Let's see. A man called Jim. Hypodermic syringe. The panorama from the window was truly spectacular. Snow-covered hills, one with a clump of trees, four or five of them on its top.
The cottage stood on the side of a hill. She's telling us where she is, but how did this reach us?
You see these faint fold lines? Huh? She says here, Cinders could wait for Jim and throw the piece of paper out, folded up like a paper dart.
But I...
And then she says that Jim would think dart's a kid's game. Well, obviously he or somebody else didn't.
The envelope has a Longport postmark.
Whoever did pick it up forgot to put in their address. Come on, get your coat, Elena.
Well, where are we going?
To Belcaster, to see Superintendent Sparks.
What the hell's that?
It's Lucy. She's skipping to get her ankle strong again.
What's wrong with her ankle?
She twisted it when she tried to escape last night.
She damn nearly did escape. You hadn't been so quick after her, Annie. Anne got your delirium story into Mrs. Thwaite.
I happen to be efficient.
Oh, there's no need to keep going on at me. I'm sick of this. If I'd had any sense, I'd have cleared out last night and taken Lucy with me.
Sense? You didn't clear out because you were afraid of your own skin. Afraid of getting caught by another blizzard. Dying in it like that wretched boy.
You're like the Chinese water torture, aren't you?
How far from the station did you leave him?
I've told you a dozen times. A few hundred yards. And I didn't leave him to die.
Oh, have it your own way. You left him, and he died.
Shut up! Don't you see the point? This will bring the police swarming all over the district. We've simply got to clear out while we've a chance.
We're waiting here till Petrov comes or rings.
Petrov will have heard the news last night, too. He'll be making tracks back to London.
You see?
What's that?
What did I tell you? He's here.
Oh, no.
Come in, Petrov.
So, here you are. All nice and cozy. I've had a long walk. I'm hungry.
I'll get you something.
No, no, no. Sit down. Talk first. Food later.
You've got it.
The information? No.
But, well, isn't Ragby with you then?
Professor Ragby is with his father's.
I don't understand.
I had to dispose of him. I strangled him, in fact. Are you cold, Paul?
No, why?
You are shivering.
Well, what happened then?
He agreed to give me the information after I brought him to his daughter. But some soldiers came into the cafe and a policeman. I realized Ragby had double-crossed me, so I pushed him through the back door and silenced him.
And it's all been for nothing. We haven't even got the formula.
We would not have got it if I had been arrested, would we?
I suppose not, but...
So we've got to pack it in?
Shut up! Why did you not return the boy to London as you were ordered? Is he back here yet?
He's dead. His body was found yesterday in a snowdrift. Didn't you hear the news last night?
Dead? Explain, please.
Paul.
I told you on the telephone... I did drive him to the station, then the car got stuck and I...
You lost your nerve, I see. I made an error of judgment in choosing you. It must be correct.
Petrov, I didn't mean...
Have you also lost the other child?
No, 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 of course not. She's upstairs. You can hear her skipping.
I hope you enjoyed her company. You won't have it much longer.
You're taking her away?
We shall all be leaving soon for various destinations. Unfortunately, your bungling makes me alter my plans.
Is the professor really dead?
Oh, yes, indeed. When I kill someone, he does not come to life again. Never mind, Annie. You have made no mistakes.
Thank you.
As for you, Paul...
Petrov, please let me explain.
Get me some food. Look sharp. And plenty of black coffee.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Right away.
Annie, we must talk quickly while he's out.
Yes.
If anyone interrupts us, I am Evan's father. Come to take him home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is my plan. You will pack your things, put everything in the back of Paul's car. Mm-hmm. The four of us will drive to where I left my car in a wood about 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
We must leave in half an hour's time. Can the car get down the track to the village?
Oh, yes. Jim Thwaites has beaten it down with a tractor.
Good. Then we drive to the drift where my car stopped.
Mm-hmm.
We drive ours deep into the drift if we can. We walk through it, get into my car, and drive towards the main road west. I have contacts in Plymouth.
But...
what's the matter?
What do we do about Lucy and Paul?
Ah, quite simple. We leave them in Paul's car.
Oh, but...
just before we leave, we have little stirrup cup, the four of us, you see. In two of the cups, you will put knockout drops.
Knockout?
By the time we get to the drift, two of us are asleep. Good. We drive the car to the drift, shovel some more snow against the exhaust pipe, leave the engine running. Soon the fumes will put them quiet to sleep.
I see.
Snow will soon cover the car. The missing child will eventually be found dead in a car with the kidnapper who was trying to take her out of the district. The police find one criminal. They do not look so hard then for his associates. You still have doubts?
Is it necessary to liquidate them?
Why should you worry? That coward in the kitchen, what loss is he to anyone?
Oh, no, no, it's Lucy I'm thinking of. What's the point of killing her?
What do you suggest we do with her?
Well...
leave her in the locker room to starve? The child knows too much. And you always knew she was expendable. You are getting soft, perhaps.
Oh, very well, Petrov. Now I must go and start packing.
Oh, where is that idiot with my food? Hey! Didn't I tell you I was hungry? Yeah, you in there! Get a move on with it.
Who's downstairs, Aunt Annie? I saw a big man.
Hush, hush. Now, we are leaving soon. Put on all the clothes you can. Now, before you go, we're having a drink with a friend who's just come.
Is he the...
listen. Pretend to drink it, but pour it away somewhere. Soon after we drive off, pretend to go to sleep.
Oh, am I coming with you?
Yes, and don't wake up till the car stopped and we've left you.
But I don't understand.
I promise, Lucy. If you don't do exactly what I say, it will be very dangerous for you.
All right, I promise. Oh. Oh, Danny, you never kissed me before. You are funny.
Yes, I've got it in hand. No, he hasn't. Under observation.
Superintendent.
Just a moment, Mrs. Ragby. Right then. Right, I'll ring you when we know. Goodbye.
Superintendent, have you found where Lucy is?
Yes, we have. The constable recognized the description.
Good work.
Thank God. And my husband?
Very badly injured, but they think he'll pull through.
Can he talk yet?
No, only nod and shake his head. Oh. But he's been able to convey to us that he's given nothing away.
Nigel said he wouldn't.
May I see him? No, no, that must wait. We must rescue Lucy.
Mrs. Ragby, I must remind you that you're under arrest. You're here to make a statement.
Oh, you British, don't you realize that Lucy is in dreadful danger?
It was you who put her there, madam. And you're responsible for your husband's grave condition, too. He was attacked and left for dead by the enemy agent.
Where is he now, this agent?
Well, he was last seen driving away westwards in the direction of Longport. The house where your stepdaughter was imprisoned is a few miles to the south, near Eggerswell.
He has gone to kill her. I feel...
oh, Elaine.
Have you got the place surrounded, Superintendent?
Not yet, but the village is under observation. If the agent is trying to get to the cottage, he'll drive along the main road and be intercepted by a patrol car.
Yes, but suppose he gets out and walks?
I haven't got an army at my disposal, you know. There's a man in Thwaite's farm keeping an eye on the cottage.
Oh, that's good. Now, they mustn't realize we're onto them till we can move in. We need a surprise tactic.
For instance,
there's one person they wouldn't suspect.
No, I'm not with you.
You mean Elena, don't you, Nigel?
Yes.
But Mrs. Ragby's under
arrest. Oh, to hell with the formalities, my dear chap. Let her walk up to the cottage alone and try to divert their attention while we move in.
Yes, please let me go.
I think you should let her do it, Mr. Sparks. She wants to make some reparation, don't you see?
Oh, very well. I suppose we can at least try it.
Oh, curse the thing.
When did you last have this contraption on the road?
A day or two ago. It was all right then.
Look, you have overchoked it, you stupid fool.
All right, start it yourself.
Don't talk to me like that. Open the bonnet. You have to clean the plugs.
I don't know how to.
Where is your toolkit?
Here.
Well, give it to me.
Now, where's that spare spanner?
And if you are thinking of bringing that spanner down on my neck, you can think again, my dear
friend. I wasn't Petrov.
Oh, yes, you were. And this is how you will threaten me. You will not try it again, I think.
Oh, God. Oh, my cheek. You've broken the bone.
Oh. That is better. Hey, you, get in the car.
Yeah.
Leave her running for two or three minutes to warm up. I am going into the house.
Well, that's it. We're stuck. The snow's beaten
us. What shall we do? What shall we do?
Well, we're nearly in the village. We might as well walk.
All right, all out.
The police car's stuck as well.
I'll give them a hail. If you can't get it out, follow on foot.
Right,
no.
Nigel, look.
What?
The tractor stopped for the pavement.
Perhaps that is stuck too.
No, I just saw the driver get out and go into that shop. There he is, coming out again. Hi.
You want me, miss?
Yes. Will you lend us your tractor?
Lend you my... whatever for?
Look, it's pretty urgent. We've got to get up to Smuggler's Cottage.
Oh, nothing wrong with young Evan, is there?
I said, you're not by any chance Jim, are you? Who delivers milk to Smuggler's Cottage?
That's right, mister.
Did you pick up a paper dart outside the cottage the other day?
That's right.
And posted it?
No, mister. Shoved it in my pocket and thought no more of it. My own kids started playing with it, I remember.
They must have posted it. Oh, God bless them.
Come on, Nigel, we can't waste time.
No, that's true. Look, Jim, we're the police. We've got to rescue a child in deadly danger. Now, look, can we borrow your tractor?
Why, of course. If you can get on it.
Right. Now, there's not room for all of us. You'll have to stay behind, Claire. Come on, Elena, hurry. Stop here, Jim.
Righto.
Come on, Elena. Jump down.
Let me give you a hand. Jump. There we are.
Where will you be, Nigel?
In the farmhouse. Waiting to move in on the cottage.
If the child's alive...
The child is alive. We've got to act on that assumption.
Right. They'll try to take her up with them. They can't get very far, but I don't risk her being involved in a gun battle. Mrs. Ragby, it's all yours now.
Yes?
Try to keep them talking as long as you can. And try to keep them away from the windows.
I understand.
Yes? Good morning. I've come to ask about...
Oh, that's very kind of you. Evan's better. His father's come to take him back to London. We're just off our...
Evan's father has been dead for years. I'm Evan's mother.
What?
I didn't know. You must go.
You can't stay here.
You won't push me out. It's Lucy I've come for. Where is she? What? It's you, Petrov.
How did you get here, Mrs. Ragby?
I drove up to the village, inquired for this house, then walked up.
And how did you know about this house?
Lucy managed to smuggle a message out. Somebody posted it to my husband. It reached the guest house this morning and I opened it.
You opened it?
My husband could hardly do so, being in hospital.
Hospital?
You didn't quite succeed in killing him. Don't look so alarmed. He's unconscious still. He has told the police nothing.
You informed the police about this letter from Lucy, no doubt.
Informed? What you take me for? I mean, it's too deep to go running to the police.
Then how did you find your way here alone?
I remembered seeing a cottage like the one Lucy described while we were driving around here last year.
But the police will have followed you.
I'm not quite sure they didn't.
Well, what have you come here for?
To ask you two questions. First, where is Lucy? Is she alive?
Lucy? Oh, she's not here any longer. She tried to run away
and... Then you have another child upstairs? Not very likely. That answers my first question. My second is... Why did you kill Ivan?
I did not kill Ivan.
Don't lie.
We must be off in 5 minutes, Annie. Mm. You were going to get us a drink. Bring one for Mrs. Ragby, too.
Certainly, Petra.
Ivan's death was a mistake. I regret it very much.
You regret it?
Yes. A stupid young man who was helping Annie over this affair took him to the station. There was a blizzard. It seems the car stuck in a drift and this young fool lost his head and told Ivan to walk the rest of the way.
I see. We made a bargain. In return for my help, you were going to give me a bow and get us back to our country. You did not keep the bargain. Why should I believe a story of yours? You have told so many lies that you have forgotten what truth is.
And what about your lies? Huh? You, a woman who could betray your husband and this little girl.
I am not proud of it. I have nothing left to live for. Kill me if you like.
Ah, here are the drinks. Brandy. That is good.
There's one for Paul. Where is he?
Waiting in the car. Cheers. Come on, Mrs. Ragby, drink up. You must be cold and we are in a hurry.
I do not drink with pigs.
Hello, Elena.
Hello, Lucy, darling. What have they done to you?
I knew you'd find me. Where's Papa?
He's in hospital. Oh. Don't worry, he had an accident, but he'll soon be well again.
When he's well, we can all go tobogganing, can't we?
Darling.
When my hair grow again?
Of course, and go dark again.
Oh, good. Who's that man?
He's a friend of this lady here.
Well, Lucy, we are all leaving now. Here is a nice glass of lemonade. Drink it up quickly and we will start.
Petrov!
I told you to stay in the car, Ford.
Petrov, I saw them going into the farm. They've got guns, police.
Well, so have I. You treacherous bitch, you betrayed us.
Don't touch the child.
Get back. They won't
put
shoot me.
Her down. I'll kill you.
Get off, you.
Don't let her go.
Oh, don't. Be careful.
Get off, you.
Oh, but Lucy. Now, run.
Look out. Look out, Mrs. Radley.
Oh. You devil. You shut up.
Get out of my way, or I'll shoot you too.
He's getting away. Jim. Drive the tractor out! Block the road!
I'll try! Don't know if I can, though!
He'll never do it. Petrov's got too much of a start.
No, he hasn't. Jim's getting up speed.
The road's too narrow. He'll never...
He's done it! He's rammed the car!
My God, what a mess!
Petrov won't get out of that alive.
Nigel! What is it? Who was driving that car?
It was Petrov. And if he isn't dead by now, with that great monster on top of him, he soon will be. Claire, what are you doing here? I told you to wait in the village.
Oh, I couldn't. I had to know.
Petrov might have run you down, darling. He was driving like a madman. Come on, Fox. We'll go and help Jim move that tractor. Oh, I see your men have moved in on the cottage.
Deacon's coming out. What's happened inside, Constable?
Well, the kid's all right, sir. Mrs. Ragby's dead. She touched up and taken the kid away and he shot her. We've got a man and woman under guard.
Well done.
Thank God Lucy's safe. Claire, will you go to her?
Now, Nigel and I are taking you back to your papa.
When?
Very soon. Oh, you'll be so proud to hear what a brave girl you've been. Mm. It was a marvelous idea writing that story and making it out with the paper.
Well, I thought it was rather a super idea myself, but I never thought you'd get the letter.
Ah, but we did, Lucy. And then we all piled into cars and drove here at blinding speed through drifts and fields and farmyards.
But you didn't.
Yes, we did. Scattering ducks and hens and pigs before us.
And Elena came with you.
Yes. Yes, Elena was the one who really rescued you.
Oh, I know. She snatched me off that man and told me to run. And I ran into this room. And then there was an awful bang.
Now, will you tell her?
Darling, the man shot her. She died saving you. She was a real heroine, Lucy. Never forget that. She wasn't sorry to die because she knew you were safe.
Oh, poor Elena. Papa will be dreadfully sad.
You'll have to be extra nice to him for a bit.
That man won't be coming back, will he?
No, Lucy, he won't. He was trying to escape in the car, and your friend Jim drove into it with his tractor.
You mean killed him?
Yes. The tractor squashed the car flat with Petrov inside it.
Good. Sardined him.
Sardined him is just about right.
Hmm. Can we go and see Papa soon?
Yes. Come on. Let's go now.
That was Richard Herndl as Nigel Strangeways in I Am Lucy Ragby, adapted by Molly Hardwick from The Sad Variety by Nicholas Blake. The rest of the cast was as follows. Rennie, Stephen Thorne. Paul Cunningham, Michael Deacon. Petrov, Julian Summers. Annie Stott, Anna Burden. Lucy Ragby, Elizabeth Proud. Claire Strangeways, Gudrun Ure. Admiral French Sullivan, Norman Claridge. Professor Alfred Ragby, Duncan Coss. Mrs. French Sullivan, Noel Hood. Lance Atterson, Walter Hall. Cherry, Barbara Mitchell. Justin Leake, Humphrey Morton. Elena Ragby, Joan Matheson. Superintendent Sparks, Preston Lockwood. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Betty Davis.